Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there. A warm welcome along to the Racing Post Monday postcast. I don't know where Maddie is, but she's not here. So I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm your host for the next half hour, when, along with my colleagues Tom Park, Tom Siegel, and Paddy Power's Paul Binfield, we will be reviewing the weekend just gone, looking ahead to one of the highlights of the midsummer, the Coral Eclipse, which takes place at Sandown on Saturday, and generally filling your Racing Post horse tracker with loads and loads of horses that our experts have caught in their beady eye and will make you money to follow, hopefully. So we'll start looking back on the Irish Derby, which took place, obviously, at the Curragh on Saturday night. Latrobe won it for Joseph O'Brien. He's going to be quite good. That O'Brien family, you know, they're making quite an impact in Irish racing, aren't they? They're pretty decent. A muddling old affair, one that you could watch probably 10 times and come up with 10 different angles, Tom Siegel. What were your kind of big takeouts from that?
My first takeout, Bruce, was that it was the worst derby I've ever seen in my entire life, I think, and that bar none. I thought it was quite the most ridiculous race. My first takeout was, what the hell were Sylvester D'Souza and Mark Johnson doing?
Okay, we'll elaborate on that.
Well,
what's Mark Johnson done wrong?
Well, not nothing personally, but if you've watched any horse trained or ridden by Mark Johnson in your entire life, you have never seen one from stall one in the lead after two furlongs reined back and taken right round the outside. It was amazing. I've never seen a horse trained by him and ridden by D'Souza do that. Now, they made excuses about ground and track, but this horse has run down Epsom, down the Eiger three times. I'm not having that the track was a problem. The ground might have been a bit quick, but I reckon they were 3-1 at the start of the race, about 6-4 after two furlongs, and 33-1 after about four.
So the mistake then was to cede the pole position on the inside.
Correct.
Why did they do that?
I have no idea. And then they allowed they must have played an Indian mind trick on them, the Coolmore boys or whatever, because they allowed the race to then turn into a stupid race where the first three throughout. And they had the stayer. They had the horse that they're talking about as a St. Ledger horse, and they've allowed it to turn into a sprint, I presume, for Saxon Warrior, because they think he probably doesn't stay a mile and a half. And they've allowed the first three to just stay in the same position the whole way. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And I thought if you ran the race again, Latrobe would win probably, you know, if you had 10 goes, Latrobe would probably win two, Saxon Warrior would win none, and DXB would probably win about five, and then maybe one of the outsiders, the Pentagon or something, might win a couple. I just thought it was ridiculous. I thought the top speed figure's rubbish, everything about it suggests that the race was just a nonsense from start to finish, and it was the one that got away for DXB, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, Tom Park, I mean, it was weird because they don't actually have a camera covering the first part of the Irish Derby in great detail. So you're looking at them coming around the turn, and I've backed DXB, and I'm thinking after a furlong, this is good. And the next thing, I've completely lost sight of him. It was peculiar, wasn't it?
Well, he broke fine. He was in front. He had pole position. And then I don't know what happened. Charlie Johnston had said in his quotes before that he was concerned that O'Brien had so many runners and that is a massive advantage for them. I don't know if they were thinking, oh, we don't want to go, they were hesitant of going off too quick, whether they wanted to let one of the other O'Brien horses tow him in, but it was a complete farce in the end. Yeah. He's been shuffled back, pushed out on the outside, and that's it. As Tom said, he went from being a 6-4 shot in running to being a 33-1 shot.
Peculiar.
And Tom, just, you know, it's just Mark Johnson and Sylvester, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so atypical of how they ride and run races. If it's at Goodwood, there's no way on earth that horse would have been ridden like that, or Ascot. It was just weird.
Do you think SDS somehow kind of felt a bit lonely in front and thought, hang on a sec, am I being set up for something here? I don't know.
Just don't know.
Very odd, wasn't
just
it?
Just don't know. Really weird.
Paul Binfield, what did you make of it? Good result for the bookie, Saxon Warrior getting turned over. Mind you, he drifted towards the start, didn't he?
He did drift a little bit, Bruce, but yeah, great result, Latrobe. You know, he was popular enough with some people in Ireland, but great result for the bookies, and I think you've summed up DXB. It was all a bit strange what happened with him.
Absolutely. Okay, Paul, we're very brevity's the key with Paul's summary there. He didn't want to dwell on that. That was blimey. Tom Siegel, the one thing I want to say, and by the way, a big nod to Graham Rodway, who on Friday tipped up Rostropovich. This Padraig Beggy story is extraordinary, isn't it? Because he's half a length away from winning the Irish Derby, the English Derby, I think the only other race he's won in between time was a maiden at Limerick or something. It's extraordinary,
it's
isn't it?
It really is amazing. Yeah, he's clearly very talented. I think the thing is, they, you know, he got the English Derby, didn't he, from riding sort of the horse that out the back, the sort of one for the stayer. This one he rode totally differently from the front. So he's clearly, I don't understand why he doesn't get more rides.
Incredible.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Now, we better talk about Saxon Warrior. One of my favourite pages in the Racing Post is always the Monday jury. We get some really interesting views. And loads of people are saying stepping back to a mile, stepping back to a mile and a quarter. Someone else said he needs further. Ooh. Tom Siegel, what would you do with Saxon Warrior?
Well, I thought that was a lamentable display on Saturday. I don't care what they say. They thought it was better than the English Derby. I thought it was worse. I thought the race was set up for him to show his pace. They went very slow. They made it into a sprint and he couldn't get past a maiden winner and Rostropovich, who I bet at the start of the season they wouldn't have even worked him together. They wouldn't even work Saxon Warrior with Rostropovich. That's how different they are in terms of ability. I thought it was lamentable.
So do we forget Saxon Warrior?
I do.
Is he now not a factor?
I do. I think he's going to be too short a price in every race he runs in. Look, he might come back. He might come back to the Guineas form. Of course he might. But he's one of those horses now that has let us down twice, and there was no excuses on Saturday. None whatsoever. They didn't go. They didn't make it a staying race. If he was a top-class speed horse, he'd have got past those two. No problem. And he couldn't do it. So for me, he's totally off the list. I don't want anything to do with him ever again.
Well, I mean, he could become quite an interesting one, Tom Park, from a layer's point of view, couldn't he, if he's going to be short? Because he's what, you know, these horses, once they win the Guineas in that style, that buys you plenty of grace, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
even if you get beaten two derbies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you know, I fancied him for everything this season. I was on him for the Triple Crown, for the Arc. But as Tom said, I just... That if it was the O'Brien horses set it up for him, they went an absolute dawdle. If he had the speed, he would have breezed past them. And he just that gear that he showed in the Guineas is just non-existent anymore. You know, the Guineas is often two-year-old form continued from the last season, and he's kind of lost his way, I think. Like, just because he's a big horse and he looked a monster in the Guineas doesn't necessarily mean he was going to stay further, and doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to train on. I just, that gear that was in the Guineas, whether it's trip, I'm not so sure. I just think he might have just lost that spark. Whether they can get it back, I'm not sure. I wouldn't put anything past O'Brien. But
doesn't look great, does it?
No.
Okay, well, let's see if we can glean some anti-post winners out of what we've seen and what the boys think. We'll start with the Arc. Binners, give us some betting from Paddy Power.
Well, La Trobe is a 16-1 chance for that, Bruce.
I don't think Tom Siegel will be steaming him for that.
It's not on my list.
No, not at the moment. Anyway, Tom, 9-2 Cracksman, 11-2 Enable, 10 Bristol Ocean, 11 Massar, 12 Poet Word, and it's 14 Bar Lads.
Binners, if you were having an Arc bet now, who would you be backing?
Tricky one, that, Bruce. Maybe Crystal Ocean, very keen on Stout, and was very impressed with him at Royal Ascot, and we'll have to see where he goes next. But I would imagine it'll be the King George, and if he won the King George, then you'd think 10-1 might be a big price for the Arc.
Okay, we're probably doing this in the wrong chronological order. While you were speaking there, I could just notice out of my corner of my left eye that while you were reading out Cracksman and Enable, Tom Park was shaking his head, and then when you said Crystal Ocean, he nodded his head.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are your thoughts then on the Arc, Tom?
I think that there is a couple... Crystal Ocean has done absolutely nothing wrong this season when there are a few horses in...
I might be banning that phrase from the postcast. Leave that for the special...
he's been brilliant in his races. He ran in one of the best ledgers that's ever been run. He's not put a foot wrong at all. And, you know... Enable, whether she comes, if she comes back, she's got to prove that she's got what she had last season. She's been out a long time. Cracksman.
Do you not trust Cracksman to come back? Autumn horse?
At the prices, I couldn't go anywhere near Cracksman.
So you've got Crystal Ocean as the Arc value, yeah?
Yeah, and a horse that ties in with Crystal Ocean's Capri. Aidan O'Brien, I think, mentions in the paper today that he's going to be brought back for an autumn campaign. Possibly Irish Champion Stakes and then the Arc. He's a forgotten horse. You've got to remember, he's beaten Cracksman already. He won the ledger where he beat Stradivarius, Crystal Ocean.
Just got to be sure he's going to be good enough when he comes back.
He might not be good enough, but look at the three-year-olds this season. There's not one that's coming through that you're thinking, oh, God, that's going to be a big contention.
Massa's not bad.
I'm not convinced with Massa. I'm not convinced of any of these three.
Oh, we'll save Massa.
Lawrence, if there is... Lawrence has done everything. She's got a lot of ones next to her name. She might not win by very far, but she just fans and fans. And she might beat a horse by a short head 1 week. And that if that horse was... She beat the Godolphin horse half a length, a short head, a race before last. Then next time out, she beat 4.5 length, but she still only won the race by neck. She's only going to do what she needs to do. And she's a three-year-old filly with a massive weight allowance in the arc. If it isn't a vintage arc, she's not going to be far away. 33-1, I think she is. But yeah, these three-year-olds so far are not up to much at all.
Would you agree with that, Mr. Siegel?
I haven't given up on Cracksman when he gets back on soft ground. I think on fast ground, you can't handle it. I'm against Crystal Ocean, if to be honest. I thought he was horrible at Ascot. I mean, people said he was really impressed. I thought that was a shocking race. He beat a horse of Ed Dunlop's, Red Verdon, that's lost every race for donkey's years. I mean, I thought on fast ground, he just wasn't that impressive. I think he was one of those horses that was 4-6, and so he won, and everyone says, what a brilliant performance. I think it would have been absolutely shocking if he hadn't won. And I thought, it's not won a Group 1. Around 10-1, I think he is with Paul just said then. I mean, he's too short on what he's done for me. I thought Study of Man, the French Derby winner, was going to improve, but I couldn't agree more with Tom about Lawrence. I think she is a massive price. I think she's going to relish a mile and a half. I think that's what she wants. I think she's been doing all of her winning over shorter. She won the French Guineas and the French Oaks, didn't she? Oh, no, the Allery over 9 furlongs, and then the French Oak over 10 furlongs. Fillies have a great record in this race. She's going to love stepping up to a mile and a half. And I think at 33-1, given the dearth of top three-year-olds, I think she's pretty decent value. You can't back Enable on what we've seen, you know, on whether she gets there. And Massar, while I love him, and I can't wait to see him on Saturday in the Eclipse, still not totally convinced by him. There's something that tells me that he's going to tail off or throw in a shocker somewhere along the line. So I'm with Tom there. I think Lawrence is a big price. And we must mention the French horse and Coronet that won on Saturday. I've backed Waldgeist at 33-1, and I was a little bit disappointed with him, if truth be told, on Sunday. I thought he was going to win easier than that, but Coronet might be improving. Frankie said after she won at York that she's a totally different horse this year than last. Her form ties in with Crystal Ocean, with Capri, Tom was talking about in the St. Ledger. And both Frankie and John Gosden said she's a lot better this year. So it might be a bit of a better race. You know, we all said Sir Lewin sort of was fluky against Cracks, but I'm not convinced.
I think he's a good horse.
Yeah. And so maybe that form's a little bit better than people are saying. So if there was an older horse that would win it, I think André Farb's Waldgeist might be it. But at the moment, I'm on the French Derby winner, Study of Man. And as Tom says, Lawrence is very interesting filly at a mile and a half.
Like that. Two very, very strong shouts for Lawrence at a massive price. Let's do the King George next, Binners.
Okay, I'm not sure Tom Segal's going to agree with this. 5-2, Crystal Ocean. Ooh. 3, Crackman. 13-2, Massar and Poet's Word. 7, Saxon Warrior. And 10-1, Veilgeist.
Okay, well, given we've talked about these horses before very briefly, if I give you a free fiver, Tom Park, who are you going to back in the King George?
I'm not sure what the plans are with Coronet. I mean, I think she's about 10-1. She is interesting. I thought she ran really well yesterday. And I thought she probably would have won that race more times than she'd have lost.
So you're going to go Coronet?
Yeah, if I've got a free fiver, yeah.
You've got a free fiver, Tom?
I would back Massar at this stage.
Okay, and Binners?
Probably go for Veilgeist if he turned up, Bruce.
All right, then. And let's do the ledger. How are Paddy Power betting on that?
Well, we can't separate three at the top end, Bruce. 5-1 co-favourites, Kew Gardens, DXB and La Trobe. 8 Forever Together, 12 the Pentagon and Southern France, and it's 14 the rest.
And Tom Siegel, you go first on the ledge.
Forever Together, Bruce. Absolute bonkers decision to run Dropper back at 10-10 furlongs on fast ground yesterday. Had no chance. Very disappointing. Shouldn't, you know, an Oaks winner shouldn't get thrashed by a horse that came fourth in a Group 2 at Royal Ascot. But I think stepping up to a mile and six, bit of soft ground at Doncaster, we'll see the Oaks form again. So forever together for me.
Binners, your ledger fancy?
Well, it's a tricky one, this, Bruce. Let's hope that DXB can come back, and they talked about him being a St. Ledger horse after the Derby. But too bad to be true at the Curragh. Whatever the reason, you've already discussed it. Back over a mile and when he steps up to the mile and six, DXB.
Okay, and Parky.
I like a horse. There's a horse called Wells Fargo who ran at Royal Ascot. I thought he ran. It was a really eye-catching race, and he will absolutely relish the step-up and trip.
What price is he, Binners? Wells Fargo.
Well, I've got computer problems, Bruce, okay, but mate. He's at least 16 to 1 because he's not in my list.
33 to 1 on your list, according to odds checker.
33's. Aye, Parky going for another biggie.
Bruce liked him.
I think he probably lacks the class of the last year's ledger if it's going to turn out that race, but it doesn't look to be that good so far. And I think it was an eye-catching run at Ascot. I think he'll definitely appreciate the step-up and trip. I think he'll go quite well, yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about the chances of with a hold on the other side of the world and loads of other stuff from the weekend and Sandown coming up next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, let's look at what else happened over the weekend. Northumberland Plate, obviously, with Hull jumped out and made all on the Topeka. Great performance, that. Tom Siegel, he's got to come into consideration for the old Melbourne Cup now, hasn't he? Some horse, this, isn't he?
Yeah, he was very good. The only thing you'd say, he was 2 seconds slower, wasn't it, than the Vars. Julian Muscat probably won't be on my Christmas card list, but I thought it was a funny race, and he got the run of the race. But having said that, he was so much better than the others, isn't he? And now he's won the Cesarewitch by miles and the Northumberland Plate by miles. He's clearly group class, isn't he? Mm. So if he can get in the Melbourne Cup, and I think he might have to hit the frame or run somewhere in a group race first, I think he's a definite player because you can do anything with him. He travels well, he quickens well. He'll be perfect for the Melbourne Cup. You've been out there, Bruce. You know what it takes. You need to be able to hold a position, and I think withholds the right type of horse undoubtedly for that race. Yes, and I'm a fully paid up member of the Roger Charlton fan club. I love it when he's got a good horse that he targets at races. I think he's a major player anywhere he goes now.
I've certainly been out there. I don't have a clue what it takes to win it. What's the latest betting, Binners, on the Melbourne Cup? Is your computer working now?
Well, no, actually it's completely poll act and I've got to take it into the office tomorrow, but I can provide you with 14 to 1 with hold, 20 Rekindling and Magic Circle, 25 Marmello, Johannes Vermeer and Latrobe. But interestingly, we were 33 to 1 with hold immediately after the Northumberland Plate, and he's now 14 to 1 favourite, so we were too big immediately afterward.
Okay, could be some race this year, couldn't it? You've got Tony Bloom and with Hull going down there, the good doctor taking the Magic Circle down there, Parky. Are you interested in this? Obviously, you write the fantastic anti-post column in the Racing Post. Is this on your radar?
Absolutely. I love with Hull. I think I'm 14 to 1. The cat's kind of out the hat now with him. But, as Tom said, they've known for a long time how good this horse is. He's definitely group class. It wouldn't even surprise me if he's Group 1 class up to Stradivarius level. Every single race he's running, it doesn't matter where you put him in the race, he's got the gears to get you out. And like, as Winston said after the race, he couldn't believe that the jockeys just gifted him it. Mm. But he still absolutely walked all over them. And I think he's got the speed, early speed, to get a position. He can hold a position. He's got a turn of foot. I think he's got everything you need to win a Melbourne Cup, and this has been the big plan, and I love horses in races like this where they've established from a very early point and they know exactly what they've got. Well, they actually don't have... You will only know how good this horse is once he gets to Flemington. Mm. Once he's there, you'll see the real withhold, and we've already seen how good he is. I think he'll probably be placed in a Group 1 maybes beforehand, Group 2 maybes, just to make sure he gets in, but I don't think he'll have a problem getting in.
Excellent. What group race might they take in for that one?
I wondered whether they'd maybe go to Goodwood, yeah. If not York, maybe.
Okay. Tom Siegel, just explain to me why there is a doubt in your mind over that 2 second difference between that race and the Vars.
Well, they just let him get away with his own fractions, didn't he? And as soon as you let horses of that class, you know, be able to run furlong by furlong a slower second than they could do. Do you know what I mean? If you're able to sit in front,
I've got complete blind spot on times. Please explain it to me.
Well, if I was running a 100-meter race, Bruce, against you, and I was able to go in front, at a slower pace than I was able to for the first 50 meters. I think you'd struggle to get by me. You might be faster than me, but I would have the ability to quicken up and you wouldn't be able to go past your optimum speed time. And what I'm saying is that when you're talking about staying horses, they can only run a certain level of speed. So if you allow a horse to go slower than they're able, a good horse, obviously if it's a rubbish horse, then it's irrelevant. But if you allowed the best horse in the race to go slower than they want to, say, for a good majority of the race, being able to quicken up and go, you're going to have to run the next bit. You remember, you're already two or three lengths behind. You are going to have to run the next bit three lengths faster than withhold. For a start, you probably can't do that to begin with. And so then you're being asked to do something that's virtually impossible. And so for me, as Tom said, they let him get away with it. That's not necessarily the point to take out the race, because Withhold is the horse that can do that. Yeah. There's very few horses that can do what Withhold did. So therefore, where you're right about times is that you cannot translate what one horse does to every horse. But if you allow a horse like Withhold a free run in front, you're going to have to be Stradivarius to get past him. Simple as that, because none of the other horses are good enough to run those last four furlongs that quickly.
Okay. I thought it was quite telling. The first thing that Winston said when he was being interviewed after the race, he said, they absolutely gifted me.
Yeah.
So I think the time is unnecessary, really, because he's not going to win in 3 seconds faster because he doesn't have to. He's out in front controlling the pace. If something comes alongside him to challenge him, then you'd have maybe saw a better horse. So I think the time is disappointing, but that's not, you shouldn't take that angle from the race, because he's only done what he's had to do. He's admitted that he knew from the third furlong that he was going to win that race.
All right, lads, thanks for that. I'm going to stick with picking the ones with the nice names. what else? We've touched on Valgeist. Anything else catch your eye over the weekend, lads? Maybe one horse to stick in your tracker. We'll start with you, Binners.
I'm going to go for Cloth of Stars, Bruce, in the that Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud yesterday. He was going really well until his saddle slipped under Vincent Chemineau. He was a class horse last year, runner-up in the Arc, and it looks like he could be back. I think he could be a major player in the Arc again later on.
Okay, Cloth of Stars for Binners. Tom Siegel, who's going into your tracker?
Few, Bruce. Royal Intervention, who won the 2-year-old race at Newmarket on Saturday, won by 4 or 5 lengths, very well bred filly for Lady Lloyd Webber. I think she'll run in the Cherry Hinton next.
Brackets, good tip, Tom.
Thank you very much. Got to get it in there quickly. I thought she could be very good. And then two, who ran for Willie Mullins on Irish Derby Day, last race. Willie Mullins, absolutely brilliant with these horses that come on the flat. Low Sun and Laws of Spin dominated the valuable 2-mile handicap at the end of the day. I mean, they're just unbeatable over staying trips, Mullins' horses. I would imagine Low Sun might go for something like the Ebor. It's a big, valuable million-pound race now. Wouldn't be surprised if either of them ended up in Melbourne as well. But they're two undoubtedly group horses that are going to take on the best over staying trips as the season progresses.
Okay. There was a rueful smile on my face when you said that Mullins is unbeatable in these staying races on the flat. Do you know what? Royal Ascot, I don't want to dwell on it because it absolutely killed me, but Paul Keighley gave me the 50-1 winner of the first race. By Saturday, it had all gone so wrong that I first tried to smash out on Dreamfield and then Thomas Bloody Hobson.
The only one. Oh, he got him second instead, didn't he? Gordon Elliott beat him, didn't he? Renetti was
Renetti,
second.
Anyway, we move on. Tom, who's going to go in your tracker?
There was a horse on Friday night of Aidan O'Brien's called Goddess, Camelot filly. First time out for Aidan O'Brien. She absolutely tanked through the race. I think she actually finished third last, but if you watch the race back, this is a certain winner next time out. She absolutely cruised through the race. And the way that she did it, she could actually be something quite special. Honestly, watch the race back.
Why did she finish third last?
She hit a load of trouble. She was as green as you like, but just watch it back.
Okay,
her head's all over the place.
All right.
But she finished the race hard on the bridle.
Goddess.
And she'll definitely win next time out. But it wouldn't surprise me if later on in the season she's a horse that we're talking about.
Can you remind me of that one, Parky, when she runs next? All right, because I will put her in my tracker. Right. Okay, quick break and then back, looking ahead to the Eclipse.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNC supply 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Tom Park, Tom Siegel, and Paddy Power's Paul Binfield. We're taking an early look at the summer highlight from Saturday's card at Sandown. It takes place at 2:10. Just before the football, there's tennis, there's a Tour de France. What a great day. It's absolutely this glorious summer of sport in this beautiful boiling sunshine. It's the Coral Eclipse. And Paul Binfield, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Well, we're 11-8 Massard, Bruce. 5-2 Roaring Lion, 5 Happily and Poet's Word, 12 Gustav Klimt, and 14 Bar. Of course, we are talking just before the 5-day stage, so things could change slightly soon.
Okay, yeah, as Paul says there, Tom Siegel, we're not absolutely certain of the makeup of the race, but we've got a fairly good handle on this one. I think there's not too many either-ors, are there? So, the big question, first of all, is Massa a value favourite at 8-11?
Is he at 8-11? Blimey, no, he's definitely not.
Did I say 8-11? I said 11-8, didn't I? 11-8, sorry.
11-8, no, I don't think he is, because it's Sandown's a funny track. We've had many Derby winners beaten here in this race before. I think Roaring Lion and him over a mile and a quarter will be a good race. I don't think there's that much between them. I personally think Poet's Word is the value at 5-1, I think Bin has said there. I like older horses. I mean, I think if you take Cracksman out, you know, I think because Cracksman was supposed to win at Royal Ascot, everyone sort of missed Poets, how good Poets Word were. They were miles clear of the rest. I think he's an extremely good horse. He's won at Sandown before. It will take an exceptional three-year-old to beat him. I'm interested to see Happily. They're running Happily, Aidan O'Brien. I think the fillies might be a little bit better than the colts this year. We saw Alpha Centauri. She was third to Alpha Centauri in the Irish Guineas. Then she ran against Lawrence and was a bit unlucky against Lawrence in the French Oaks. I think that form ties in quite well. The second in the Irish Guineas went and ran a cracker in the Jersey Stakes. So I think the fillies might be a little bit better, but at 5-1, I think she's got a bit of improving to do to beat the Derby winner, Roaring Lion, the Dante winner, and Poet's Word, the Prince of Wales' winner. So for me at the moment, it's all about Poet's Word. I think he's the wrong price, given it's the Stout Eclipse, older horse connection.
Okay, Tom Park, what's your view?
Couldn't agree more. I'm dead against Massar. I think these three-year-olds are... I just think if you run each of these races over and over again, you'll get different winners. And I think over 1 mile, two... If I was going to back one of the two, I would back Roaring Lion, given what he did in the Dante. I don't think he quite got home in the Derby. But I
agree. Do you think they should have run Massar on Saturday?
I would have run him on Saturday. I think that they wanted to try and avoid Saxon Warrior. I think they thought that Saxon Warrior was going to show what he did in the Guineas. I couldn't understand it. Massar was brilliant in the Derby.
Yeah.
So I don't get why... Why come back in trip at this point? Come back later on in the season, get another classic under your belt. It was there for the taking.
What would you have done, Tom Siegel?
In hindsight, which is always a good thing, I would have definitely gone to Irish Derby. I don't like Sandown for three-year-olds. I really don't. I think it's a really tricky track for those three-year-olds, especially on really fast ground. In hindsight, given the way the race went.
It's a lot less tricky than Epsom, though, isn't it, Tom?
It's a lot less tricky. I just think it's difficult. We've seen so many good horses beaten there. You know, authorised, motivators, all those sort of horses, the fantastic Derby winners come back. I think the Irish Derby is the perfect race against your own age group for a bit of time. I honestly think people get transfixed by the Ballydoyle team when they go to the Irish Derby. They think they can't do this, they can't do that. They don't want to, you know, park the tank on their lawn a bit. And they all sort of let them have the race, you know. Over the years, we've seen bad horses.
Even those that
out.
Do go over for it.
Yeah, even those that do go, they do stupid things. And I think Massar would have won that race easily on Saturday. And I'm not sure he's going to win at Sandown on Saturday.
Okay, so the boys should both go in Poet's Word.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the plan is. I can't understand why Poet's Word is so big if the plan is the Coral Eclipse. Do we know that he's definitely...
No.
Or is that the plan? Because if he's going, he should be... Joint favourite at the very, if not favourite, I would say. I think he's got the form in the book.
Okay.
He's beaten the best horse, best horse in ratings, anyway.
Three votes for a Poet's Word?
It is actually, Bruce. I won't copy Tom and explain why I like Poet's Word, but if you look at the betting, Massar and Roaring Lion are both too short for me. Happily 5-1, but not definitely running. Could still go to Belmont Park. Then you've got Poet's Word, 12-1 Gustav Klimt. That's not going to run. I believe he's going to the Sussex Stakes. So 5-1 for Poet's Word. The form in the Irish Champion Stakes last year was very good. I fancied him that day. And everyone said Cracksman, a poor performance from Cracksman. But possibly, you look at Poet's Word form, it stands the highest scrutiny. And I agree with the lads. 5-1 is too big, and he won't be that on the day for sure.
Okay, before we wrap it up, I want to know what the betting is on the Sussex Stakes, because I looked earlier and I thought, I know Without Parole, you know, he was the everyone's lay of the week at Royal Ascot, and he won. But just how good is he? I think he's 7-4 with Paddy Power. Tom Siegel, would you have a view on whether that's value?
I don't think it's value, because I think it's going to be a good race. I think Gustav Klimt's going to run, Lightning Spit. I think the older horses are running. I do think he's a very good horse, and I don't think he was seen to best effect at Ascot. I think he's probably a bit better than you show. I'm very interested in Expert Eye, Bruce, what they do with Expert Eye. Personally, I think he's a sprinter. I think they'd be much better off running in the July Cup, but I do know they're thinking of putting him in to the Sussex Stakes. That would be interesting. He won the Jersey Stakes, didn't he? Over seven, he won.
I tell you what, if you look at if you go back to what he did as a two-year-old, if they've got to the bottom of him and we're now seeing the horse that they thought he was, then he's a potential star of the rest of the season, isn't he, Tom?
Well, I think he'd be the champion sprinter, and I'm going to get boring, but it's about pedigrees here. He's by acclamation. And all acclamation's best horses are sprinters. It's very, very rare he gets a proper Group 1 miler that can compete with the Frankels, the Galileos and the top horses. Now, he might be an exception. Look, don't get me wrong. Of course, there's exceptions to the rules. But I'd love to see Michael Stout do an Ajdal, showing my age, or a Green Desert, and bring that horse back to the July Cup and run against the sprinters, because I think he'd be the champion sprinter without a doubt. So I'm hoping they'd go for the July Cup rather than the Sussex. But I give them, you know, you've got to give him a shot. If they give him a shot in the Sussex, having won there as a two-year-old and won the 7 furlongs at Royal Ascot, you know, he's going to have to be a player.
Binners, have you dug out the betting on the Sussex?
Yeah, we've got 7-4 Without Parole, 6-1 Gustav Klimt, 8 Lightning Spear and Lancaster Bomber, and it's and also Wootton as well, actually, and then 10-1 Barbaries.
And who would you be backing at this stage, Paul?
Well, I always enjoy backing Lightning Spear wherever he runs in these Group 1s. I know he hasn't.
I don't.
Great getting beat at short end every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Love
great.
It.
You've got to back him each way, Tom. But listen, he every time he runs in these Group 1s, huge prices sometimes. He always puts in a nice performance. Hopefully, he'll get that Group 1 for Dave Simcock one day. And 8-1 at this stage looks fair enough to me.
And Parky, Sussex?
I backed Gustav Klimt at Ascot, and I was people will disagree with this. I was furious after the race because I thought that he should have won. I thought he's a brilliant jockey, by the way, but I thought that he thought he was going to win that race. He doesn't actually draw the whip on Gustav Klimt until about 3 strides from the line, and he was closing it every given chance. You know these O'Brien horses, they get on a roll. There was a lot thought about this horse, and he's starting to improve, and if he keeps on improving, because they were a good way clear of the rest, I think I'd back him to overturn Without Parole this time.
Oh, I hate the thought of you being furious, Parker.
I was.
Were you in the office or at the course?
I was a few jars down at that point. So
were
I
you?
Was, I
was what, in the office?
No, in.
yeah, like the rest of you.
Right.
What about Beat the Bank? Can I make one horse Beat the Bank for the Sussex Stakes? I thought he should have won the Queen Anne. I thought he was really unlucky. He never got going. I thought he would have won by a couple of lengths if he'd been able to unleash. He's won at Goodwood before, and I thought he was a really interesting horse at about a double figure price.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Binners. Thank you, Tom Siegel. Me and Parky are going down the pub. If you enjoy these shows, do please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. We're back on Friday to take a closer look at the Eclipse and all the other fantastic racing taking place this weekend. So do please join us for that.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.